Okay, thank you for that lovely introduction. I know you're a little nervous about that, but Baruch Hashem did a great out there. I waxed me, did a fantastic job. Okay, let's talk about Sefer Shmos a little bit, okay? I have some thoughts to share with you. We'll see. I think 7:15 is the end. You let me know if I'm going too long. Likely I'll end much earlier, but we'll see how things go. So Sefer Shmos and Sefer Bereishis. The Netziv writes his Akdama to Sefer Shmos. He wonders why all the other Hamishi Chavshei Torah have a certain name to it. Taras Kohanim for Vayikra, Shpekudim, Mishneh Torah for Dvarim, Bereishis is called Sefer Yetzira, but there is no name, there's no special nickname for Sefer Shmos. And the Netziv writes, because Sefer Shmos is simply a continuation of Sefer Bereishis. It's part two of Sefer Bereishis. Bereishis was the creation of the world, and Shmos is the creation of the nation of Am Yisrael. All one long book. That's what he writes. I want to add and maybe perhaps argue and say that there's a fundamental difference between Sefer Bereishis and Sefer Shmos. It's not just a continuation, but there's a fundamental difference. There are two dinim that the Torah is trying to convey through Sefer Bereishis and Sefer Shmos. The pasuk that we hopefully say every single day, we know very well, the pasuk says, Torah tzivah lanu Moshe Marasha Kilas Yaakov. I want to understand what that pasuk means. Torah tzivah lanu Moshe, that the Torah is given to Moshe, Marasha Kihilas Yaakov. And the Marasha was given to Yaakov Avinu. And that understanding the pasuk that we're going to go through will help give us a great fundamental, understand the fundamental difference between Bereishis and Shmos. But let's backtrack. There's a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamehem Alf, which tells us, Kol She'imo Timei Leida, whenever the mother of a child, the mother gives birth, she has a din of Tumah, Tumas Yoledes. Whenever she's Tamei, Nimol the Shmon, her child is going to be Mol on the eighth day. V'chol She'ein Imo Timei Leida, but when the mother won't become Tamei, Ein Nimol the Shmon, the child will not be Mol on the eighth day. Asks the Gemara, but what do you mean? Doros Harishonim. The earlier generations of the Avos and Imahos, the din was there's no Tumah prior to Matan Torah, and yet the Bris Milah was given on the eighth day. Yitzchak Avinu's Bris was on the eighth day, even though his mother Sarah Meinu was not Tameh. So how could the Gemara suggest that Tumas Leda, and Shmini depend on each other? Sarah Meinu was not Tameh, Tumas Leda, and yet Yitzchak was Nimo L'Shmona, the disprove to this klal. And so the Gemara uses the following language. Says the Gemara, Nitna Torah v'nischad shehalacha. The Torah was given, it was a reset button, everything was brand new, that which was prior to Matan Torah was no longer relevant. Sorry, Meinu wasn't Tameh, and Yitzchak had a bris milah on the eighth day. Doesn't make a difference. Nitna Torah, nischad shehalacha. Rambam writes in Hilchas Avel, Perek Aleph, Halach Aleph, mitzvah aseh lehis abel al hakrovim. There's a mitzvah deraisa that one mourns over one of the seven closest relatives. He quotes a pasuk, Shenemar v'achalti chatas hayom hayete b'nei Hashem. The pasuk in the Torah tells us there's a mitzvah deraisa to be misabel on a karov. V'ein aveilus el b'yom rishon. But don't we have a pasuk that says, Afa pi shenemar b'torah v'yas l'aviv v'evel shivas yomim, that when Yaakov Avinu died, they mourned for 7 days. So how could the Rambam paskin aveilus is only one day? The pasuk says, by Yaakov Avinu, there is shivas yomim evel, 7 days of aveilus. So there's a steer in the psukim. Is Avelis one day? Or is it 7 days? Says the Rambam, even though it says 7 days, Nitna Torah v'nischad shalacha. When the Torah was given, Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah, everything prior was completely insignificant, irrelevant, and therefore even though perhaps they kept Shivas Yomim for Avelis prior to Matan Torah, after Matan Torah, only one day. Rambam writes further, Perish Mishnayos and Maseches Chulin, Perek Zayin. The Rambam writes that she'atat tzorech ladas, you have to know, she'komash she'anu nizharin mimenu, all that which we're careful about not doing certain averas, osim also our mitzvahs that we do, mitzvahs that say, ein anu osim zos elabib nation tzivoy Hashem al yidei Moshe. Why do we keep Mila? Why do we keep the mitzvahs of Shabbos and Peruvu and every mitzvah? Only because it's given to Moshe Beinu. Lo mipnei she'Hashem tziva bekach le'nevim shekidmu. Not because the Kadosh Baruch Hu told the Avos, the Nevi'im prior, ein anu ochen Eivir Menachai, we don't eat Eivir Menachai, lo mipnei she'Hashem asa al b'nei Noach Eivir Menachai. That's not why, even though b'nei Noach are subject to the Issa Eivir Menachai, that's not why we keep it. El mipnei she'Moshe asa aleinu Eivir Menachai, because Moshe, through a Kadosh Baruch Hu, asered us. And so too, ein anu malin, we don't have bris mila, because Beglau Avram Avinu Mal is Atmo, and Anshe Beso, Elab Mibnei Hashem, Tzivanu, Aide Moshe. In other words, everything we do, all mitzvahs, Aseh, Mrs. Loz Aseh, we do because Moshe Beinu told us to do so through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Moshe Beinu. Everything prior to Kabbalah Satorah is completely irrelevant. Nitna Torah, Nishadsha Halacha. However, Rambam and Hilchas Malachim writes in Perek Tes, Halach Aleph. He delineates the history of all the mitzvahs, and he writes, "Al shisha devarim nitztava Adam arishon." There are six mitzvahs given to Adam: avodah zara, birchas Hashem, shvichas damin, and so on. Noach was given Eiv Menachai. Avraham Avinu was given Mila. Yitzchak was given Hafrashas Ma'aser. He goes through a whole long history of all the mitzvahs. But if we just saw that the Rambam himself says we don't do mitzvahs because of the Avos. We only do mitzvahs because it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. We saw the Gemara says, in Nitna Tov Nishad Shalacha, the Torah is Mechadish everything. So why is the Rambam writing in Mishnah Torah, his Sefer on Halacha, why is he acknowledging and recognizing the history that they were given to Adam, Noach, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? There's no impact on Halacha. Nitna Torah Nishad Shalacha. That's the question on the Rambam. So go back to Pasuk Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Marasha Kilas Yaakov. What does that Pasuk mean? Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Moshe was commanded the Torah. And Marasha Kilas Yaakov, there's a Marasha given to Yaakov Avinu. What's the difference between the Torah and a Marasha? A Torah is a book of rules. It's a constitution. Halacha is what to do, what not to do. A Marasha is an inheritance. It's a legacy, a heritage of some sort of Yerusha, something one inherits. Moshe Rabbeinu, Rebbe, a Rav, is a master. There's a Rav and an Eved. Sometimes at Kadosh Baruch Hu we say, Yom Naraim, Im Kivanim, Im Kavadim. Sometimes at Kadosh Baruch Hu is our father, and we're his children, Kibanim. Sometimes he's our master, and then we're slaves, Kavadim. So too, Moshe Rabbeinu is a Rav, a master. Yaakov Avinu, the stress on Avinu, is our father. Moshe Rabbeinu gave us a Torah, a book of rules, like a master tells a slave, you have to do this, you can't do this. Yaakov Avinu gave us a Mesorah, a tradition, a Marasha. That's the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu, Yaakov Avinu. Moshe Rabbeinu goes with Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. The Torah, the book of constitution of rules, was commanded like a Rebbe, like a Rav, a master tells the Avadim. But Yaakov Avinu, as our father, gave us a Marasha, an inheritance. And that's the difference between these two. You see, Sefer Bereishis, you're right, we don't keep the Torah because the Avos gave it to us. The Torah, the Tziva Lanu, was only for Moshe Rabbeinu, which was in Sefer Shmos. We're going to get in Yisro, the Torah. Sefer Shmos celebrates the Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. The book of rules. Sefer Bereishis, which is all the stories of the Avos, is a Marasha. We don't do it because there are rules. We do it because that's our Mesorah. That's our tradition. That's our family tradition. That's our Minhag Avoseinu Biadenu. There's a minhag that we get from our fathers. Bereishis is Minhagim. There's a story, a personal story I have. Baruch Hashem, I like to learn Gemara. And I was Zocha a number of years ago. My grandfather gifted me a very special matana. Goes, my son, who's named after my son, is Zev. His name, he was named a few months after my grandfather's Nifter, so he's turning 14 next week. So around 14 years ago, my grandfather was Nifter. A little bit before he was Nifter, he gave me a very special Gemara. What's a special Gemara? A special Gemara is that my grandfather had a shas from his grandfather. It was preserved through the Holocaust, the whole Misa that my great-uncle hid it in Paris somewhere. He fled to South Africa. After the war, he retrieved it from a basement in Paris, brought it to him in South Africa. After my great-uncle was Nifter, there was Machlokas, who deserves a set of shas? And my great-uncle, after he passed away, his wife sent it to my grandfather, who at the time lived in New York after the Holocaust. It was sitting in my grandparents' house in Jackson Heights for some time. My grandfather gave me, yes, what I was learning. At the time, I was learning Shabbos and Chulin. He brought to me, to my house, and my parents' house in Teaneck, two huge volumes, the Shabbos and the Chulin, like this big. He gave them to me. The rest of the set was mine. I never cleaned out the shelf until my grandmother passed away a few years ago. I have a set of shas from my grandfather's grandfather in my house. Inside, I was sitting down when I brought it home that day. I was sitting down crying with my family around me because everyone who owned that set of shas wrote, signed their name inside. So my grandfather's grandfather, Zev Wolf Levin, signed his name, and my great uncle, Yeshaya Levin, and my grandfather, Zev Levin, then I wrote my name, Yonason Binyamin Levin. Now, as much as the Gemara and Shas means a lot to me from the halachic perspective, but there's also this particular Morasha, this Mesorah, this heirloom, this Yerusha that I was zochah to have now in my house, representing what is the symbol of our home, a place of Torah. That's the difference between a Torah and a Morasha. When I was around your age, I bought a set of Shas, a small set of Shas. You know, you leave by your Makomos and you use like an old brown set. I took those with me wherever I went for 20 years or so, learning them wherever I had chasanas. And it came last year, they're beginning to fall apart a little bit. So I asked Rev Weinberger, Rebbe, this set of shas is 20 years of me, you know, toiling through, taking with me every single place, but they're falling apart. How much do I weigh in the sentimental value versus the ability to use it? He said, sentimental value is very, very chashuv, but in the end of the day, the ability to use it, to learn, is more important. So with his bracha, not that I really needed a shaila, but it was something I wanted to talk to him about. Anyways, he said, go buy a new set of shas. So last year, I bought a new set of small shas that I use. But there's a sentimental value. There's a certain morasha tradition that you have that's passed on, whether it's an actual set of shas or minhagim that you have from your family. There's a famous ma'isa of Soloveitchik, who was once giving shir about Kiddush. Friday night, standing and sitting, and he says that for the first part of Kiddush Vayechul, you're supposed to stand up. It's Eidus, like the Gemara says. It's brought down by Mishnah Berurah. You have to have two people, like Eidim, saying it together. There's real Eidus. And the second half, you're supposed to sit down because that's Kviyas Suda. And the next Friday night afterwards, he was in Shabbos in YU, and the Rav was making Kiddush, and he stood up for the entire Kiddush. And all the Talmidim ran to him afterwards. His Rebbe, you just taught us this week that you're supposed to stand for the first part and sit for the second part. Why do you stand for the entire Kiddush? To which he answered, Minag Avoseinu V'Yadeinu. That's how important tradition is. That's how important Mesorah is. Now there's a Me'iri. The Me'iri based on the Gemara, and both in the Gemara in Yuma Chavches and in Psachim, I think, Dav Dalet. Gemara talks about Zrizin Makdimim L'Mitzvos. They were supposed to do mitzvahs as soon as possible, by the Bris Milah in particular. Now the Me'iri writes, this is a language in Yuma, he says as follows. He says, why do we have Zerizim Makdim L'Mitzvos? He says two things. Now had you read this, you may not have picked up on it. But the Gilyoni HaShas in Psachim Dav Dalet, Rav Yosef Engel, picks up on the nuance of the Me'iri. Listen to what he writes. Number one is, Shelo Lo Yira Ki Misrashe Ba Mitzad Chemlasa HaBen. We do Zerizis by Bris Milah. Why is Bris Milah the source of Zerizus? Because if you delay the performance, it might come off as saying, I'm having Rachmanis on my child. In general, you should. When it comes to a mitzvah, you do the mitzvah even though it might hurt your child. That's the first reason. So people shouldn't think you're lazy in doing the mitzvah. But the second reason, writes the Me'iri, Lechos bidarche ha'avos. We're supposed to hold on, grasp, follow the ways of the Avos. Even had there not been any inyan of Zerizim Makdim L'Mitzvos, if Avram Avinu did it, we should do it. There's one reason again, so you shouldn't be lazy, but the second reason is, Le'echos B'Darchei HaAvos. Hold on to the Avos. Pirkei Avos is all about midos derech eretz that we learn from the Avos, from the Rebbeim, from the Nevi'im. It's the derech, it's the derech eretz, it's the way we act, it's the midos that's there. The Reb Tzadok writes that the midas derech eretz, hakodemes l'torah, bilvavos b'nei Yisrael. The midos that we inherited from our parents, grandparents, and all the way back to the Avos are ingrained, they're innate within us, within our DNA. They preceded the Torah. And that's why the Gemara says, anybody who does not have these midos, shlosha simanim yesh ba'umazu. We have three very special characteristics. Harachmanim, habayshanim, ugomli chasadim. They're part of our DNA. These are the morasha that we received from Yaakov Avinu, from Avraham Avinu, from Yitzchak Avinu. They're part of who we are. That's the morasha versus the Torah. You can just see the difference, these two dinim, for a moment. There's some individuals in this world who are very traditional, but not observant. Let's say conservatives. They're very traditional. They have their traditional Seder. They have their traditional Rosh Hashanah. Their traditional Kol Nidre. But they're not observant. They're not following the halachas, but there's tradition. There's a certain Yerusha. And then there are those who follow halacha. They're observant, but they're not traditional. They don't keep the Marasha. They don't keep the Mesorah. They'll try to prove in halacha. Maybe they might be correct in halacha, but they're not keeping the tradition. I remember years ago, there was a school in the New York area, not the Five Towns, New York area. And there were a couple of girls who were wearing tefillin in the school, an Orthodox school. It was a big hack. Now, there was a young rabbi, a new musmach, who wrote an article proving how this is allowed. And the truth is, he had very good proofs. He proved that a girl could wear tefillin. We don't have to look too far. In Rashi's family, of course. But even though you could prove in halacha something might be the case, there's a mesorah. There's a minhag that we have. There's a tradition that overrides the halacha. The Gemara tells us, the Gemara in is a Yushalmi, based on the Gemara in Yivamos, that tells us that the minhag overrides halacha. The Gemara Yivamos is talking about, let's say Eliyahu Navi tells us the shoes that we're using for chalitza is wrong. Eliyahu Navi comes from Shemayim, says that's wrong. That's the wrong shoe to use. We don't listen to Eliyahu Navi because our minhagim override the halacha. It's lo b'shemayimi. We decide down here. The poskim down in this world decide. The minhag that we keep overrides any halacha. There's a fascinating Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara tells us, in order to be a dayan on Sanhedrin Haggadah, there are many criteria that you have to meet. But there's an entry exam. There's an entry exam, and the Gemara tells us what that question is. There's one test on this entry exam. And this is the test. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin Daf Yud Zayin, Ein Moshivin B'Sanhedrin, we only place on Sanhedrin Haggadah, Elami Sheyodea L'Taher Es HaSheretz Min HaTorah. If you could prove that a sheretz is tough, now that's an impossibility, because a sheretz is tameh. We have to prove that's tahor even though it's tameh. Now the simple pshat of the Gemara is, it's testing your intellectual gymnastics, the Kohr of Rosenzweig, to see how strong, how intellectual you are, how smart you are. We need someone who's really smart. I want to suggest something different. I saw after I suggested this that I think it's the grandson of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer has a parish al Torah called Torah Moshe. In the back, there's some Chidushim al Torah from his grandson, I believe. So I saw he says this idea as well. It's not to prove his intellectual capacity. The point is, imagine the following. You fight really hard. You prove something. You put your all into it, you write a whole paper, a whole shiur to prove something, and then you're told you might be right, but in the end of the day, Mesorah tells us otherwise. How easy will it be for you to rip it up and say you're wrong? This person spent days, weeks, months trying to figure out this question, how you matar a sheretz. He's opening up Gemaras, he's opening up Midrashim, he's opening up Rishonim, he's working really, really hard, and finally he has a mahalach. And he proves that sheretz is tahor. It's not going to be so easy for him to back down. But Chazal is telling us, even after you've proven it, we're testing your loyalty, your commitment to our Mesorah. The Zake Mamre, the whole story of the Zake Mamre, that whole din, is to prove that Zake Mamre, even though he might be correct, is he willing to bow his head down to the Masorah, even though the rest of Sanhedrin might be incorrect. But if they all say X and he says Y, he's got to give in to the majority. It's about testing your loyalty, your commitment to the Masorah. We have many instances where we could prove halachas from Minhagim, from a Yerusha. The Gemara in Brachos, in a strange way, asks, what bracha do we say on water? When you drink water, of course, we all know it's shahakol, but the Gemara has a thought that maybe it should be the bracha achrona of Bori Nefashos should really be the bracha rishona of drinking water. Which is the appropriate bracha rishona on water? You know what the Gemara answers? Anyone know? Poke, chazi, mai, oma, davar. Means poke, go out, chazi, see, my, what, amma, the amma, the nation is davar. What are they saying? What are they doing? If we don't know, follow them and hug him. The Yushalmi writes in Yevamos, kol halacha shi rofefes bebezdin, any halacha that's weak, that's soft, that we don't know the answer, ve'eni yodea, mativo, tsei, ure'e. Go out and see, heyach hatzibor noeg v'nohug, what we're doing. Minhagim override halacha, minhagim prove halachas, and I don't have the time for this, but take a look at the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Samech Vava as well, as another raya that we could use minhagim, minhag avoseinu, to prove various halachas. So I'll just finish off then with a maisa, I guess. A couple of maisas. I'll finish off with, you know, I'll first tell you one thing, then a maisa. Perhaps you could suggest when we say Birchas HaTorah every single morning, these two dinim of Sefer Bereishis and the Yerusha and Morasha Kiyas Yaakov versus Sefer Shemos and the Torah Tziva Lanu. Those two elements of Yaakov versus Moshe, Torah versus Morasha, Bereishis versus Shemos, perhaps is indicated in the brachas, Asher Nosa Lanu Toras Emes, that was given to us, a Toras Emes, that's a Moshe Rabbeinu Toras Emes, the rules, absolute, black and white, and v'chai olam nata b'socheinu, that which is planted within us, that's perhaps the Yerusha element, the Marasha element, these two dinim perhaps are alluded to in the bracha birchas HaTorah. Now finish off with the ma'isa, as follows. Ma'isa of Kiva Eger, one time there's a Sefer Torah that they didn't know who the sofer was. So what's the big deal who the sofer is? So the Gemara in Gittin says it's very important to know, because if a mumer l'avodah zara, wrote a Sefer Torah, the din is you burn it. And if a sofer kasher wrote the Sefer Torah, then you use it. You can't burn a Sefer Torah. So how does one know, if you have a Sefer Torah that you found, you don't know who the sofer is, how do you know whether you should burn it or whether you should use it? So says to Kivya Eger, look at the last few psukim of the Sefer Torah. And if all the osios there are the same as the rest of the Sefer Torah, you would burn it. But if all the osios for the last few psukim are different, whereby the sofer followed the minug, which is to invite all the local rabbanim to write their own os. Now, nowadays we don't write our own os, we just hold the pen or maybe the elbow, just like a point to Mishliach. Back then, the Stam Rav knew how to do safras. He'd write his own letters, so the last few psukim would be funny. You have the lamed looking different than each other, and different olives and bases and gimels, all different fonts coming together. So he says, if the last few osios have different fonts, different scripts, that prove that the sofer followed the minug of inviting all the local rabbanim, and therefore you should use the Sefer Torah in that instance. So Rabbi Eger used the importance of minhagim in order to prove a very important halacha of using a Sefer Torah versus burning a Sefer Torah. On that note, I want to share one last ma'isa. I'm sorry, great ma'isa. Last ma'isa, we have 4 minutes, about minhagim as well. The Ramah was a Rav in Krakow. 7:15 we said, right? No? Oh, 7:30. Oh, yeah? Oh, we have more time. Okay, fine. So either way, I started winding down, so we're ending anyways. I thought I heard 7:15. I'll finish one last mice anyways. The Ramah was a Rav in Krakow. And when he got to Krakow, there's a very, very strange, almost inappropriate minug in Krakow. The din is that when a woman gives birth, we spoke in the beginning about a Yoledes, she's Tamei. So a woman's Tamei for around 6 weeks or so. And then afterwards she goes to the mikvah. So the minug was the week that the woman would go to the mikvah. So that Shabbos, they would give her husband an aliyah. The Gemara says, nobody has to know when his wife's going to the mikvah. It's entirely inappropriate. So why are we giving the husband an aliyah the week of her going to the mikvah? Never knows. Oh, okay, Reuben's wife went to the mikvah that week. Nobody should know. Nobody should be thinking about such things. So the Gemara came and he abolished the minhag. Excellent. Now, the first week on the job, a guy comes to shul and he expects to get an aliyah. He was traveling. He was out of town for business. He didn't know the Rama abolished the minhag. That week, his wife went to the mikvah after having a baby 6 weeks earlier. And he's expecting to get an aliyah. But they didn't give him an aliyah. He started protesting. And then they explained to him that they abolished the minhag. They started doing a little bit more research. Because once it became a little bit more public that this guy expected the aliyah, and it turns out this guy's wife never went to the mikvah that way, even though she told him he did. The Rama realized then that the reason why the previous Rav instituted having such a strange minhag is because the women actually were not going to the mikvah. And the only way to hold them accountable was to make sure that the husband gets an aliyah on Shabbos. So now it's all public information. Beforehand, no one knew, so no one's going to know, no one's going to ask questions now. But now, her husband was getting aliyah, so no one's going to know, no one's going to do research on it. It's never going to get back to the mikvah later that she didn't go to the mikvah. And therefore, he reinstituted this minhag in Krakow that the week that a wife goes to the mikvah after having a baby, that husband gets an aliyah in order to preserve and make sure she goes to the mikvah. And that's why you see the Rama all over every page of Shulchan Aruch. It's always v'chei nagu, all about minhagim. Even though sometimes they'll say the halacha should be this way, but afal pikein, this is the minhag because of this wild mice that he himself experienced to show how important minhagim is. So we come from this to conclude with Sefer Bereishis and Sefer Shmos. Although Sefer Shmos, the introduction of Kabbalah Satorah, in a few weeks in Parshas Yisro, is the Torah Tzivah Lanu Moshe, the rule book, the constitution that Moshe Beinu gave us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the rules, what you can do, what you can't do, but that's not to say that it's deleting and nitna Torah v'nischad shalacha with regards to Bereishis, because Bereishis still holds the Yerusha. It holds the Mesorah element, the Marasha of the Kilas Yaakov.